This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Not really much to update. In constant communication with his representatives, and again, just remain hopeful that the situation gets resolved soon.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning, TSN1290.ca and via the iHeartRadio app, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning here, we are live on location at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. The players have hit the ice. The first group is on the ice in front of us. Session number two coming up at 12 noon. Lots going on down here at Bell MTS Iceplex, so be sure to come down and join us throughout the morning and the whole day indeed. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. I'm joined here at the Iceplex alongside Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. Gentlemen, we heard from Jets General Manager Kevin Cheveldayoff off the top of the show, that clip you heard as we were entering the broadcast. We expected it to be done. We've been sitting here for weeks now, even months, saying, well, there's going to be something for Josh Morrissey. There's a contract in a drawer, and they're working on it. Lo and behold, training camp underway right in front of us. No sign of the Jets' number 44 on the ice. How surprising is that development from your perspective?
I think it's surprising to me, Drew, and I think it's surprising to a lot of people. You mentioned, we talked about it last week, and I think we were expecting Josh Morrissey to be under contract before training camp started, and, you know, Mark Scheifele just took a shot there on Connor Hellebuyck, as you mentioned, just in front of us, and we expected Josh Morrissey to be out there with, Jacob Trouba's right here in front of us as well, and, you know, he's not on the ice, but we know it's going to happen sooner rather than later. It's just a matter of time, right? It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. We know that Josh Morrissey is going to sign a contract soon. The big question is it going to be a bridge contract or is it going to be a long-term contract? And I think the jury is still out. There are some that still think there could be a long-term contract, but I think the longer this has gone, you start to think that it's going to be a bridge deal. So that's 2 years, 3 years. You know, maybe Josh Morrissey signs a 4 or 5 year deal, but it seems more and more unlikely that you're going to see a 7 or 8 year deal. It's obviously still a possibility, but to get back to what you just said, I'm absolutely surprised that Morrissey isn't under contract, and that's because you know that Morrissey's going to be a part of the long-term future of the Jets, but it's business, right? And they're obviously still working on it, but
I'm a little bit surprised. I was kind of hoping we'd have like a Steve Mason scenario, like he was traded minutes before one of our shows. I was hoping we'd have a Josh Morrissey type situation and give us a little more meat to talk about today, but no, I'm not terribly surprised. I mean, the reality is the player knows his worth. He knows the way the Jets are built on the left side. He knows that he is the future of that, of this team on the left side. He's got leverage, and the fact of the matter is that he really is probably pushing for a certain type of deal, or his agent, I should say, is pushing for a certain type of deal, and the fact of the matter is that you can't blame a player for wanting what he is worth. And so, you know, are they able to nail it down in the next couple of days? I mean, I suspect they're going to try. The Jets are almost going to have to. I mean, do they really want to go into, you know, serious part of training camp without 44? I mean, they already did that without Jacob Trouba, and we saw the effect. I mean, Jacob Trouba took a long time before he was really... No, I mean, again, that was a longer holdout.
He missed regular season games,
right,
of course.
Right, but what I'm getting at is you don't really want to miss anything, because the whole point is, while these guys all have chemistry, it's still different from practice.
And, Dave, I could be wrong. I mean, this could stretch out a little bit longer, and you're right. I mean, if we're sitting here a week from now and, you know, the season is getting closer and closer. The season starts October 4th. If we're getting, you know, into late September, early October, I just don't see that happening. And I go back to what I said. I am surprised. But I do believe that this contract is going to get done. I mean, we're sitting here. This is the first on-ice session here of training camp. Training camp just started yesterday. So I don't think you're too worried right now. You have to be a little bit more worried than you were a week ago. But I really do think the Josh Morrissey contract will get done here in the next 2, 3, 4 days.
So you're surprised, but are you yet? Is that surprise yet risen up to the level of concern, Dave? From if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan, you've seen what has happened in past when it came to, like you said, Jacob Trouba, and I'm not saying that started a contentious relationship when he you know missed those regular season games and it took him longer to come to a contract, but you know, Jacob Trouba, most people expect, is not going to be a long-term member of the Winnipeg Jets at this point in time. And you can say maybe that it started back then when he had that first contract dispute with the team. So now you have Josh Morrissey in a similar situation where training camp has begun. He's not on the ice with the team. Are you concerned that this could escalate to be a Trouba-esque situation where he signs a bridge deal and then maybe he signs another one-year deal and then, you know, forecasting out into the future, he's not a long-term member of the team?
Well, I mean, I don't think in anybody's mind Josh Morrissey won't be a long-term member of the team, but this is almost getting to the point of like an arbitration case where it gets contentious and the two sides are, you know, kind of arguing as to what the, you don't want to be nitpicking. I mean, if you forecast this guy to be what I claim, which is, you know, a cornerstone of your franchise for the next decade, then you really don't want to be saying to him, you're not worth this. Now, similarly, they have to be able to say to Josh Morrissey, you know, Josh, we have a vision of this team and what it's going to look like in the future. And part of that vision has you coming in here, which is obviously the argument the Jets are making, because they know that they've got Patrick Laine, they've got Kyle Connor, they've got eventually Jack Roslovic. They're going to have all these guys they're going to have to sign. But again, at the same time, if I'm Josh Morrissey and knowing that, you know, hockey has a finite period of time to be played.
Yeah, strike while the iron's hot. Make as much money as quickly as possible.
And you know, some people would say that's greedy, but at the same time, I mean, the guy's entitled. He works very hard, and you know, like I said, he's earned what he'll earn whatever he makes based on the fact that he's worked so hard to get to that shutdown role with Jacob Trouba. And again, remember, the fact is he's not getting those opportunities on the power play that you know that a guy like that would want.
To add to the point total, add to the raw numbers, if you look at straight goals and assists, he doesn't get that opportunity. I mean, Josh Morrissey has been in town for the last number of weeks, skating. He's been here on the ice with his teammates leading up to the start of training camp and physicals yesterday in the on-ice session, which is happening right in front of us right now here.
Yeah, Morrissey was out skating with Adam Oates.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in town for weeks on end, you know, preparing for the season. So that's why I think to a lot of people it's so surprising that that contract didn't get done, even a bridge deal didn't get done ahead of, you know, the start of training camp this weekend, because he's been in town. It seems like, you know, by all accounts, he's ready to go on the year, yet they haven't been able to come to that agreement. You wonder what the loggerheads are at between Morrissey's representation and the Jets, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff and the Jets negotiators at this
point. It's the number, Drew. And there are similarities, I think, to the Josh Morrissey contract situation and the Jacob Trouba contract situation. They're both coming off of their entry-level deals, and I think it's tough to come to that magic number. And you look at Darnell Nurse is still not signed at Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Theodore is still not signed in Vegas.
That's what I was going to ask you. The fact that there's so many other RFAs, both defensemen, like the guys you just mentioned, and forwards, like William Nylander in Toronto, do you take solace in that it seems like it's almost more difficult nowadays to get contracts signed for those guys who are RFAs but have no arbitration eligibility, that maybe you can say, okay, it's just it takes longer than the start of training camp. It maybe takes a week in or 2 weeks in to get it done.
Yes, Drew. I think in the post-2012 salary cap era, some of the hardest contracts are those that are coming off of an entry-level deal. And we saw that with Jacob Trouba. You've seen that with other players like William Nylander. We've seen these types of contracts in the past, and we talked about it. You could make a strong argument that Josh Morrissey on a long-term deal is a $5 million a year defenseman.
Sure.
Now maybe the Jets think he's a $4.5 million a year defenseman. Regardless of what that magic number is, when you're talking about a bridge deal, well, what does Josh Morrissey get on a bridge deal? Does he get $3 million? Does he get $3.5 million? I mean, I don't know the answer to that. That's way above my pay grade, so to speak.
Sure.
Right? But
yeah,
I think
your pay grade's very low.
That exactly. I think that magic number is what is taking so long. And like I said, I think this contract will get done here in the next, let's say, 3 or 4 days. Next week. I don't think Josh Morrissey want this to last any longer than it has to.
Well, what's going to change? Is it just the fact that training camp has started?
One side will bend. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, the reality is one side is going to have to change their position. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. The reality is both sides know what the other want at this point. It's not like you know, even if they talk late in the process, like let's suggest that Josh Morrissey was wherever he was in the row of contracts that Kevin Cheveldayoff wanted to get done.
Sure, because he had a lot of work to do this offseason. Sure.
What I'm getting at is wouldn't mean that he wouldn't have spoken to his representation at some point, and they would have at least let them know what their contract ask was going to be. So the fact is that both sides know what the other want, and the truth is you're just going to have some compromise.
Well, we've talked about it on the show for a lot of years now, deadline hunting. how there's always, you know, dates on the calendar that usually force the two sides to come together and make an agreement. Training camp was one of those deadlines we thought was going to sort of force the hands of both Cheveldayoff and Morrissey's representation. So what's the next deadline? Is it an arbitrary date in the middle of training camp? Is it the start of the regular season? Could this drift into, you know, actually missing regular season games like
no.
we saw with Jacob Truba?
No, come on, Drew.
Well, why are you so adamant about that? Why are you saying, I mean, you're making it sound like it's such an outrageous suggestion when we saw the evidence of that just, you know, 2 years ago with Jacob Truba.
I mean, I guess anything is possible.
Sure, that's very true.
I just don't see that happening based on the player and the situation, because the salary cap situation is similar to Jacob Truba, but I don't think the overall situation is similar.
Like,
do you understand what I mean?
The personalities
well,
involved?
Well, I mean, there was no risk of Josh Morrissey's never said he doesn't want to be here. There has been no indication that a trade is in the works or anything like that, and that was the case 2 years ago.
With Jacob Truba coming out and saying he didn't want to play
right.
On his off wing,
right.
And supposedly that was the reason why he requested that trade in that offseason.
So I'm not saying that necessarily Josh Morrissey is going to sign today or tomorrow, but I will go on the record as saying I'd be shocked if he isn't signed within a week. Because I'm very surprised.
Within
that,
a week.
Wow.
I'm surprised
that's
that he
quick.
Hasn't.
You know what we call that? The Ezra Ginsberg bold prediction.
Yes, it's also not worth anything at all when you take it to the bank. But, you know, you think that this just gets, you know, a couple days into training camp and it's no big deal ultimately.
Yes.
Dave? You tend to be maybe more on my side with a little bit of cynicism or a little bit of skepticism.
Yeah, I just
I don't know if you want to go to the dark side, Dave.
I'll stay in the middle, I think. I don't have any great insight as to what day it's going to happen. I think whether he misses a few preseason games, I don't think that's going to be a huge problem for this organization. I mean, the truth is that, you know, we've seen the Jets generally play. They may start with their strong team tomorrow on Monday. Chalking already talking about preseason games.
Yeah, there was a preseason game yesterday in China, apparently. Boston and Calgary played in China last night.
All I knew is that Boston lost their equipment was held up in customs, and they missed their first practice.
The land of the rising sun.
Well, the Bruins and the Flames kicked off the 2018-19 exhibition season there.
Sure. But
and the land of the rising sun, by the way, is Japan,
yeah.
Not China. You're a master of cultural sensitivity, though, I got to tell you there.
Anyways, so you know what? I don't know. I don't know that it's a huge deal, because I suspect we'll see most of the Moose players playing in maybe in the first few preseason games. Unless they do what they did last year, which I think they did, the strong teams to start, like the veteran team, I should say, and then they went to the more the younger players.
The younger players generally get the road games.
Yeah,
for the
exactly.
Most part.
Well,
yeah.
you want your home fans to at least see the you know they're paying the dollars.
Yeah.
May as well give them the Jets players. So if he misses the first one, obviously I suspect he will, and I don't think it's going to be a huge deal for Josh Morrissey and the Jets.
Well, we will certainly stay on top of it. Maybe it'll break while we're on air this morning. That would be quite convenient. We are live at Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Place. Drew Mindell, Bell MTS Iceplex. I'm getting my locations confused. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN 1290.ca.
We'd all see Jack Roslovic down the road as a full-time center iceman. We think it's there. But he's still, you know, he didn't start the season with us last year. He came in and had a real nice Vegas series. He spent some time on the wing. I didn't mind him in the middle. But some patience with this young man, too, before we hand him the keys to drive between those other two.
Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice talking about one of the key battles, the key things to watch as Winnipeg Jets training camp gets underway. The battle for the second and third line center role. He's anointed in those comments Brian Little as the Jets second line center. What to do with Jack Roslovic? Is he your third line center? Is he all of a sudden on the wing? Those are one of the key battles here at training camp as it gets underway. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest on this Saturday morning. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friend Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection, as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth tooting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. So, gentlemen, Paul Maurice, you know, his first real comments before the media as they were doing the on-ice testing yesterday, and they're on the ice right now for the first session, the first group on the ice for the first session, group number two on at 12 noon this afternoon. your thoughts on Paul Maurice's comments, your thoughts on Brian Little being given that second-line center role. Any surprise at all? And sort of, and in addition, what are the key training camp battles you're watching for, as most of this team is well-known entering the 18-19 season, but there are a couple of opportunities for some guys to break through from the Manitoba Moose?
Well, Drew, let's talk about the second-line center position, first of all.
Okay, start with that.
I mean, Brian Little was the second-line center for the majority of last year.
Certainly.
And then Paul Stastny was acquired, and he was obviously centering Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers from the trade deadline on and into the playoffs, into the Western Conference Final. And when you're talking about that second-line center position, I mean, it's a crucial position. And right now, I think there are a lot of Jets fans out there, and I think I would be included amongst those Jets fans, that would love to see Jack Roslovic between Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers. Now, the problem with that is Jack Roslovic has not spent a lot of time at the NHL level playing center.
Next to none.
He spent a lot of time at the NCAA level and at the American Hockey League level, and he's played center. And I'm not saying that he can't play center at the NHL level, but I think if anybody thinks that Roslovic is just going to be anointed as the number two center ahead of Brian Little, they have to give their head a shake. And I'm not saying that Jack Roslovic won't eventually emerge as that number two center as early as this year, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to give it some time. I mean, Brian Little for years was the number one center of this team. And then Mark Scheifele obviously developed into the number one center. And then Brian Little was the number two center. And then eventually he moved to the number three slot. But as it stands right now, guys, to start the season, it's going to be Brian Little. And you have to go with what you're familiar with. Jack Roslovic is an amazing player, Dave. You've watched him more than we have at the American Hockey League level. I have as well. He's a dynamic player. It's actually right in front of us here, right in front of Connor Hellebuck.
He's waving at you, actually. He must know you're saying something nice.
So that is my take on this, guys. I mean, he's going to be a very good player. He can be a number two center. But right now, I think the safe choice is to put Brian Little there to start the season.
Isn't this a better situation for Jack Roslovic starting potentially as the third line center? Easier minutes, sheltered minutes. He gets offensive zone starts playing with, speculating here, Matthew Perreault and whoever else is on the wing on that line. Isn't that easier? You don't want to throw a young player getting their first minutes at center at the NHL level right to the Wolves. I don't see any benefit necessarily as he gets accustomed to playing center at the NHL level.
Well, I think that's the problem, Drew. I think everybody is focused on the offensive side of the game and not the back end of things. And I think that's what Coach Maurice was talking about yesterday when he was being interviewed about it. And he specifically said that, whether he would put a rookie, or not a rookie, but a young player with other young players, as opposed to having a more veteran, experienced guy with those guys, i.e. Brian Little.
Sure.
And the truth of the matter is, he never committed to keeping Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers together.
Well, that's what he says in the clip there. Sorry, Dave. He says, there's no guarantee exactly that Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers have to play together all season long.
Exactly. So to me, the fact of the matter is, and again, look, the reality is Jack Roslovic knows how to play center, but like as he touched on, he didn't play a lot of center even last year with the Moose, because specifically for the reason that the team obviously knew that they were going to bring him in. They knew they were going to bring him to the NHL level, most likely as a winger, not as a center. And so he was playing a lot of wing last year with the Moose, not necessarily at center ice. Now, he obviously played some center in some situations, but the fact of the matter is that his focus primarily was on the wing. So my feeling is, like you said, do you want three young guys in your defensive zone playing against veteran NHL top-minute guys, against the Dallas Stars, that sort of idea?
Sure.
Can they do it? Sure, they will eventually be able to do it. Right now, are they going to be defensively responsible enough? Questionable.
And that's why I believe Jack Roslovic will start the season on the third line. Well, no. Paul Maurice said that Jack Roslovic is going to start the season most likely on whether it's the third line or the fourth line. I would expect it to be the third line. But, Drew, Braden Point is a good comparable for me. Braden Point is now
Tampa Bay Lightning
centerman. Tampa Bay Lightning. He's now the second line center. He's only 22 years old. He's 1 year older than Jack Roslovic. He was drafted the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And Braden Point started off, he was actually on the fourth line of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He worked his way up to being the second line center on the Tampa Bay Lightning. So you can be 21 years old and be the second line center of an NHL team. So again, going back to what I said, it makes a lot of sense to start Jack Roslovic on the third line, because it puts, as Dave said, it puts a lot of pressure on a 21-year-old kid who's now just going to be playing in his first NHL season. You forget, he didn't...
First complete NHL season.
He only played a half season with the Jets last year, so there is a good chance he does emerge as a second-line center, but I think right now, just to pencil him in there right now is unrealistic.
Looking at the other training camp battles that are going on, I mean, the way the Jets have structured training camp with the two groups, it's clear that sort of group one are the guys who are really competing for an NHL spot with the team, and group two are the guys who are likely destined for the Moose or back to juniors or wherever it may be. In that group one, you have guys like Vesalainen and Brendan Lemieux and Marco Dano, and we mentioned Roslovic, but more Nick Petan. Those four guys who are really battling for the last one or two forward spots. How do you see that battle playing out, specifically looking at guys like Petan, Vesalainen, who we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show as well, Lemieux, and Marco Dano?
Well, you know what? I mean, to me, I would suspect Marco Dano is a player you're going to keep up here mostly because...
You have to expose him to waivers.
You have to. Well, I mean, yeah, but more the idea that you let him sit in the press box all of last year. The reality is, you know what Marco Dano is. If you need to keep him in the press box for the full year, the Jets are willing to do that. And the fact is, I mean, obviously he's a hockey player. He wants to play. He doesn't want to sit around all day. But, that's the likely course of action with a Marco Dano type. I'm not saying he can't get into the games for this team, but I just see him being the guy who ends up...
He's your regular healthy scratch.
Well, what I'm getting at is you'd rather him do that and have one of the other guys playing with the Moose regular games than wasting those guys sitting in the press box with us eating popcorn.
Sure.
So I think that's probably a better course of action for those types, for Marco Dano. I see Nick Petan probably being the guy who gets that spot, that extra spot. He's a dynamic player. I could see him being the guy who ends up, getting his opportunity. He played really well last year at the AHL level.
Point per game.
And you know what? It wasn't even that. It was an attitude thing. To be honest with you, like, I could have seen, I'm around the Moose a lot. You could have seen a player who was mad at his situation. But instead of that, he really handled it well. And we actually saw a different Nick Petan throughout the back course of that season. So I think he knows that this is his big shot, his one opportunity, as Eminem would say, to take that shot with the Jets. So
are you going to rap for us?
I contemplated.
Okay. Mama's spaghetti?
But anyways, so I see Nick Petan kind of dueling it out with Brendan Lemieux. I mean, I think Vesalainen, my opinion, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, I suspect he'll be probably with the Moose. But we'll talk about that. We'll save that.
Yeah, we've got that another time. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg. Ezzy, how do you see that battle? Dave made a compelling case about Marco Dano. Apparently, looking at Twitter here as the guys are on the ice in front of us, Marco Dano appears to be in leaner shape, according to Ken Weeb of the Winnipeg Sun, as the guys are on the ice and, getting into their first sort of line rushes of the season. Important to note, or interesting to note, Vesalainen gets the first shot with Roslovic and Perreault on that Jets third line or fourth line, depending on how you feel about Kopp, Lowry, and Tanev. But again, it's far too early to really be talking about line rushes as we're at the first day of training camp here.
Right, and when you're talking about Christian Vesalainen, he's obviously in a different category just based on the fact that he's a rookie, whereas when you're talking about Marco Dano, Nick Petan, Brendan Lemieux, I mean, these are players that already have NHL experience. So I agree with Dave when he mentions that Marco Dano and Nick Petan probably have the leg up on one of those bottom forward spots, whereas Brendan Lemieux is a little bit of an outsider. But I'm going to be very interested to see what Brendan Lemieux can do here in training camp, because he's a guy that put up really solid numbers for the Moose last year, Dave. And, he's a guy that obviously offers a different type of style of hockey than Nick Petan or Marco Dano, who are more offensive-minded players. But those are the three players that I'm going to be watching for those bottom forward spots. And then you throw in, obviously, Christian Vesalainen. I mean, that's the player that everybody wants to talk about, right? He obviously put up great numbers in the Finnish Elite League. Mm-hmm. And then when you're talking about, where does he fit in, it's obviously common sense to think that he would pencil in on the third line or fourth line. And then the debate becomes, well, are you maybe wasting his talents if he's playing on the fourth line or the third line, which is going to be more of a checking line, right? So,
well, he's the wild card in this whole situation, as people really haven't been able to see him live and in person very often. Of course, he spent, like you said, the season in the Finnish Elite League. So he's the guy who has a lot to show to people, and I think people are very interested in seeing, they've heard good reports, but they're interested in seeing that talent up close and personal.
And we're seeing talent up close and personal with Dennis Bayak joining us very soon in the next segment. So
why don't we go to break, and then we'll bring in hockey royalty himself. Dennis Bayak, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets, has joined us here at our table. We're live at Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. Come on down. Lots going on. The Jets are on the ice for their first session of training camp, session number two, getting underway at 12 noon. Lots of other exciting stuff underway, including my daughter just walking into
the arena.
The
amount of Mindells that are here just multiplied by three.
That's true. My parents and my daughter, she's a little confused, I think, as to what's going on. But hi, Erin. Now she's waving. Now she noticed me. So that's a nice feature.
By the way, how are we a half an hour into the show,
yeah,
and you haven't wished Dave a happy birthday?
That's true. That was an oversight. I meant to do it last
happy birthday segment.
Dave Minuk's birthday, a young 55, I believe, or
32.
Is that what it is already? Yeah, happy birthday to Dave Minuk there, as well, as we're here live at the Bell MTS Iceplex. Right now, we got some tickets to give away. Caller number three, who calls 204-780-1290, wins a four-pack of tickets to the Manitoba Moose home opener October 12th against Belleville. Caller number three right now, give Sean Asor a call, 204-780-1290. We've got more tickets to give away throughout the show as well, but we're pleased to welcome in the voice of the Winnipeg Jets, a good friend of ours, Dennis Bayak. Dennis!
Gentlemen!
How was the summer?
Summer was very good. Yeah? How was your summer?
Our summer was very good. Good times down at the Palatial Palace in B.C.?
We had to deal with some things. We had more mosquitoes than we normally have.
Not in Manitoba.
I know. Because it was so wet during the spring there. And then it dried up, and then we had to deal with some smoke and some fires and that. But still got some golf in and spent some time. Actually came back a couple of times to Manitoba for a couple of different events in the off season, and now back for training camp and settled in here, and let's get at it.
Let's get at it indeed. I mean, that's where the training camp underway right behind us. What are your expectations now? We know last year was the most successful season for this team since they returned from Atlanta, or really for the franchise in general. How do they build on that? Is this a team that, to you, obviously they're still hungry, they want to accomplish more. What do they need to do to get over that next hump, to win the Western Conference, to win the Stanley Cup?
Well, you mentioned expectations, and we've heard that word a lot. Managing expectations might be the biggest challenge right now for the next 2 months facing the Winnipeg Jets. Everybody's expecting this. Everybody's expecting that. We're already talking about advancing past where they were last year. It was a very good year last year. You make it to the conference final. You're down to the final four. There's a lot of teams that are looking to get to where you were last year. So those are all the challenges. And then it's a matter of realizing to me that, and they know this, you can't advance to the Western Conference final in October. There's a process that has to be done. There's steps that have to go through. And Paul Maurice touched on it yesterday. When you start every year, there's still certain things where you're back to the beginning. There's still certain things. Yes, they learned a lot. This group learned a lot about each other. They learned a lot about the game. They learned a lot about the National Hockey League and down the stretch last year. That's going to help them. But there's still lots of work that has to go in to get back to where you were last year.
Dennis, we have to talk about Josh Morrissey. We were talking about Morrissey during the first segment. I'm obviously not going to ask you when you think Josh Morrissey is going to sign or whether that's going to be a bridge deal or a long-term deal, because obviously, you know, we don't know that at this point. But when you talk about the left side and specifically Tyler Myers possibly playing on the left side, what do you think about that? And is now probably, you know, the best time to figure that out, especially with Josh Morrissey not in camp right now, and you can now maybe play him with Buff and see if there's the chemistry there?
There will be some rotation on the back end, whether Josh Morrissey is here in the next couple of days or whether he's not here till the start of the season or whether he's not here at the start of the year. What I find kind of interesting in this whole thing is Josh Morrissey had a real good training camp and got a lot of extra notice maybe when Jacob Trouba wasn't here. Jacob Trouba wasn't at that training camp, and and whether that played a part in the ice time that Josh Morrissey got or not remains to be seen. Bottom line is when Josh Morrissey gets here, they know what they have in Josh Morrissey, a very, very good defenseman. But you're going to see some people move around through the entire training camp and see where everybody fits in. You hope for Josh Morrissey's sake that this doesn't drag out too long. And the Winnipeg Jets' sake and everything else. You never like to see players not here at the start of training camp because you get behind the eight ball. And I don't know whether this is a single negotiation between the Jets and Josh Morrissey's camp or whether Shea Theodore and Darnell Nurse fall into this as well. That we don't know. But the bottom line is it's going to give some extra ice time to somebody, whether it's Sammy Niku, whether it's Stanley, whatever the case may be. Somebody's going to get some extra ice time because of the fact that Josh Morrissey's not here. Somebody's going to get to play with Jacob Trouba. Right now he's paired with Dmitry Kulikov on the ice right now. So that's just semantics. That's the way it is, and somebody's going to take some of that ice time away. But I do think we'll see a little bit of everything. Tyler Myers not on the ice this morning. That may delay what you were referencing there. Again, we'll find out after, I guess, when we talk to Paul Maurice how long that might be. But I do expect to see Sammy Niku, Logan Stanley, Tyler Myers. I do expect all those guys, Ben Sherratt, Joe Morrow. I expect all those guys to see some time with Dustin Byfuglien here somewhere over the next little while. We may have been able to add Dmitry Kulikov to that, except right now he's going to be paired with Trouba because Morrissey's not here. So I think we're going to see some movement there.
A work in progress. We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by voice of the Winnipeg Jets, Dennis Bayak. We're live at Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. The Jets on the ice. Somebody, some hooligan hollering happy birthday out to Dave Minuk. Dave, go ahead.
Oh, Dennis, anyways, my question is about Patrick Laine. He's 14 pounds lighter, reportedly. Leaner, lighter. How do you think that will impact his, you know, goal total? I mean, we've seen him jump from, I think, 36 to 44 last year. Do you think you're going to see him hit 50 this year? And do you think that that's like the Mark Scheifele effect now? Mark Scheifele really working on his diet over the summer, doing the Tom Brady, and how that's kind of influencing the dressing room, really trying to get guys to get to that next level?
That's some of it. But I also think some of it is it just comes with age. I think as you lose some of your teenage body and you now you're growing into a man. And I think some of that falls into that. Diet, I think, has a lot to do with it. I think I can be the first one to tell you that.
I think we found his pounds over here. Whatever Patrick lost, we found.
And I think he made the decision that it was interesting to listen to him talk yesterday that he felt that he really didn't have his legs under him until the second half of the season last year. And he felt that maybe he was carrying a few too many pounds and worked on that this summer to try and make himself faster right off the get-go. I don't think it's affected his shot at all, and it's still his shot that gets him into those numbers as far as goal scoring. What losing the weight might do is it might get into the scoring position a little bit quicker, which should help the goal totals, or at least should help the scoring chances. And then whether or not the puck goes in or not, I guess, you know, that's the second part of that story. But he looks like he's in terrific condition. And we'll find out once the preseason gets going how he carries that lower weight than compared to last year.
Dennis Bayak, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex. Dennis, that sort of battle for the last, you know, regular forward spot is one of the key things people are keeping an eye on as training camp gets underway. We've named the names before, Vesalainen, Patan, Dano. You know, how do you see that sort of shaking out as really fans get their first glimpse of Christian Vesalainen as a member of the Winnipeg Jets?
And that'll be the chore for the management and coaching staff through training camp to make that decision. You just hope that everybody stays healthy and gives themselves the best opportunity to find that spot, whether it is Dano, whether it is Lemieux, whether it's Perreault, whether it's Vasilainen. That's all you, as a player right now, and as an organization, that's what you want. You want, number one, for those guys to be healthy so they can give themselves the best opportunity to show what they can do, what they can bring, and then just kind of take it from there. And then after that, all the other stuff kind of comes into play. Contract situations, salary cap, all those other things will then kind of play a little bit of a part in that decision as well. But for now, the battle's going to be on the ice. Seven preseason games. After that first one's over, they play 6 and 8 days. So there's going to be a lot of chance for everybody because you're going to see a lot of different lineups from game to game simply because of that 6 and 8 days.
Dennis, another player we were talking about before you came on was Jack Roslovic, and head coach Paul Maurice addressed Jack Roslovic and said that right now Brian Little is the second-line center. So for all those fans out there that were hoping that he was going to start the season as the second-line center, it's obviously not going to happen. But as it stands right now, as we head into the preseason and the regular season, is the likelihood of Jack Roslovic playing wing on the third line a serious possibility?
Well, I think that's a very good possibility. Here's the situation with Brian Little in that spot versus Jack Roslovic. If you're an opposing coach and you're going into a game and that line has Nikolai Ehlers, Jack Roslovic, and Patrick Laine, you're going to look at their ages and you're going to say, okay, here's the line matching. There's where the line matching starts. I'm going to put my best offensive line out against those three young guys and see how good they are defensively. So that would be the challenge, and that's why Paul Maurice touched on it yesterday, that jumping into a center line spot in the National Hockey League is not easy, especially on a young line. That would be a very young line. So I think that's going to go into part of it. Jack Roslovic showed that he can bring something to this lineup at a key time. He did it on a big stage. That was in the playoffs when he stepped in and played very, very well. So he probably has a leg up on some people. Just because of what he's accomplished in the past, but it's still going to be a matter of going through this training camp. And you know that Roslovic's makeup is that during the course of the off season, he came in here ready to go and to give himself the best chance to be a player.
You know, Dennis, when you talked about expectations on this team, one of the things you really look to, I would think, is the leadership core. And Blake Wheeler, you know, obviously is the leader of this group. Do you think he has to send a message though from the start, saying like you said, this is we start in October. We can't get to June by now. How hard must that be, though, from this team's perspective, getting past that, thinking, oh, man, we have a whole season to get over? You know what I mean? Like, I know they have things to tweak, but at the same time, they have to play the games. And how difficult is that message, even though there is a veteran presence on this team?
I think it is difficult because you're making a transition. You're going from the players remember where they finished off. And now some of that, the sting of some of that will help in that situation where there's that hunger to go further. But at the same time, the games starting in St. Louis, October, whatever the day is,
4th,
are going to be different than where they finished off against the Vegas Golden Knights. The tempo of the game, everything is going to be different. So it is going to be a process, and some of that will take care of itself through the preseason games here and through training camp. But it's not going to be easy to convince yourself that there's a process here. And I'm sure that, Blake Wheeler already said it, we accomplished nothing last year. Now, I think that's taking it, the barometer, too far the other way, because they did accomplish lots of things last year. Mm-hmm. And now it's just a matter of taking what they learned and expanding from there, but that is going to be a challenge.
The interview starts about expectations. It ends with expectations. Dennis Bayak, Monday night. It's only 2 days away. We get tea, honey, a little chamomile to make sure the vocal cords are ready to go for
yes,
a long season.
And, maybe a medicinal brew after. No.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I love preseason. Even back to my days when I was involved in junior hockey, you always wanted to see how the young guys developed over the course of the year, how they've changed, how their game has changed. And the players that we talked about, the young players, Niku and Vasilainen and Roslovic and Appleton and all those young guys that are coming off, very good seasons, to see them get excited and get ready here.
Well, I think I speak for everyone, Dennis, when I say it's great to see you today and great to talk to you today, because now we know that hockey season is officially back when we're talking to you here at training camp. So this time of year is always the best time of year.
You know what I heard over the summer talking to broadcasters and hockey people and everything else? We sometimes forget how fortunate we are because
Amen.
We're watching a very exciting hockey club. And there's a lot of fans and a lot of broadcasters around the National Hockey League that can't say that. This is an exciting team. There's going to be some days where There's going to be some bumps in the road, and that's good. Yeah. That's good. But we are. We're fortunate to watch a very exciting hockey team here.
We have Gord Wilson, Senators color analyst, on later on in the show. And,
yeah.
You know, so you got to feel bad, a little bad for Gord and for Dean
Dennis
Brown.
Dennis didn't mention Ottawa specifically.
No, but I did because we're going to – it's previewing what's coming up later on in the show.
We've gone through this.
Yeah.
As in the jobs that we do here, we've gone through this where come the end of February and into March, you're now starting to talk about next year, and you're starting to look at the prospects coming up, and you're starting to talk about, well, we're fortunate. We don't need to do that. We've got a team here that we're going to be talking about what's going on the ice well into spring here. So
Dennis Bayak, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets. You can hear him Monday night.
Thanks,
on
guys.
TSN 3. Dennis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Likewise, Dennis. There you go. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. Before we go to break, a big congratulations. Deborah Matkowski. She's off to the Manitoba Moose home opener. Deborah's won 4 tickets to that. When we come back, Christian Vesalainen, NHL, AHL, or back overseas. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Jets Fan Fest on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Yeah, obviously it's good to have options. So if I don't feel home here, so it's easy to go Finland one more year and come back. So it's good to have options. But I don't have any plans for that. So
it is good to have options. That's Jets rookie winger Christian Vesalainen. That was back at, I believe, Prospects Camp, if I'm not mistaken, talking about the fact he has an out clause in his contract that allows him to play overseas back in Finland if he chooses not to play with the AHL's Manitoba Moose, and if he doesn't, of course, make the Winnipeg Jets. So it is good to have options if you're Christian Vesalainen.
Do Dave and I have out clauses in our contract?
Yeah, you guys can leave anytime you want is basically the out clause that you guys have. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live at Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest. A lot going on, people milling about. The skaters are on the ice behind us now as they move to the other rink while they resurface the first rink.
You know, Drew, random strangers are saying happy birthday to Dave.
Well, Dave is a celebrity, is he?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just
don't let it go to your head.
I have to say, the TJ Gagliardi jersey in front of us is actually kind of awesome. I'm not going to lie.
It's a bold statement.
It's very bold.
Yeah. And it's signed.
It's signed multiple times, too.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a family member. I mean, it's sort of a like, I always like looking at the random
That's
jerseys.
What I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think it's funny when you're at one of these fan fests and you see the people wearing jerseys and you expect Laine, you expect Scheifele, you expect Trouba. But, you know, TJ Gagliardi, that's a hidden gem.
Yeah, they got I don't know if they're a couple, but they're standing next to each other wearing both Patan and Gagliardi. So they're going a little off the board with some of their Jets jersey picks. But it's nice to see nonetheless. This segment of the show brought to you by our good friends Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. So we're going to talk about Christian Vesalainen, and there's a possibility, I'd even say a reasonable possibility, that he makes the Winnipeg Jets. If he doesn't, though, he has those two options, heading back overseas to Finland or heading to the Manitoba Moose. What is best for his development if it's not to play with the Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And obviously, Jets management and their coaching staff here, they know what they want to do with Christian Vesalainen. But also, Christian Vesalainen has some say here. As you mentioned, Drew, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not as common as you would think that you would have an out clause in your contract on an entry-level deal. I don't know the percentages, but I know that it's not common. And when you're talking about Christian Vesalainen, look at guys, we know that he put up really good numbers in the Finnish league. We know he's got the size. He's 6'4". We know he has the shot. We know he has the offensive capabilities. He's a very dynamic player. Now, is his upside as high as Patrick Laine's? Well, of course not, because there aren't very many players in the entire world that have the upside of Patrick Laine. He's got, I think, 60-goal upside at the NHL level, but Christian Vesalainen absolutely has high upside at the NHL level. He's going to be in the NHL very soon. It could be, as you said, Drew, this season. I personally don't believe Vesalainen is going to play the entire season with the Jets, and I think that's because there are so many players who are ahead of him on the depth chart. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't make the opening night roster. That's not what I'm saying. I could see Vesalainen being on the Jets roster for game one against the St. Louis Blues on October 4th. Now, whether or not he stays there is the big question. We don't have the answer to that. We just talked to Dennis Bayak. He doesn't have the answer to that. We know that the Jets organization is very high on Christian Vesalainen. You could argue that they got a steal at 24, drafting him back in 2017. Some scouts had him going in the top 15. So he's a very dynamic, talented player. But as far as where is he best suited if he doesn't make the Jets, the Moose, or Finland, it's very tough to say, because you could make a strong argument that, you know, well, if he's going to play in North America and you want to get him familiar with the Jets system and their processes, that you'd want him to be playing for the Manitoba Moose. But maybe Christian Vesalainen prefers to go back to Finland. So I think the player in this case has a big say in it. Obviously, the team does as well. So, I mean, I would lean towards him playing a full season with the Moose, Dave. But I guess there always is the possibility that he decides to go back to Finland because of that out clause in his contract.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, selfishly, since I watch a lot of Moose games, I would hope that he'll be there. And from his development perspective, I mean, if you recall last year, he said he plans on being in North America.
Yeah.
Now,
so that's sort of towards the, you know, just before the summer.
And when qualified, I believe, I don't remember the exact quote, but I believe it was, whether it was with the Moose or the Jets, he would be here. I tend to skew with what Ez just said, which is, you know, playing within the Jets system, playing within the Jets framework, knowing the Jets coaches, knowing the Moose coaches, I think there's a lot of advantage to that. So I would think that the organization, of course, is going to want him to stay here, where they'll be able to kind of oversee his development more than they would if he was in Finland, because, you know, you can obviously send scouts there. You'll have European scouts watching him, but it's not the same as having Pascal Vincent monitoring him all the time, feeding those reports up to Paul Maurice. And similarly, if you need a player, then maybe you call up Christian Vesalainen, which you're not going to do, obviously, if he's in Finland.
And we talked to Dennis about this just 10 minutes ago. I mean, training camp and the preseason is big for a player like Christian Vesalainen. I mean, if you're, you know, Patrick Laine, Nikolai Ehlers, Jack Roslovic, you know you're going to be on the Jets roster. Whereas Christian Vesalainen is one of those players, along with Nick Batan, along with Marco Dano, along with Brendan Lemieux, who is really pushing for a spot. There are certain players that don't have to worry about that. Adam Lowry doesn't have to worry about that right now, right? So, I mean, I think you're going to see Christian Vesalainen in a lot of preseason games. I mean, the core players aren't going to play all the preseason games. I wouldn't be surprised if Vesalainen gets in 4 or 5 preseason games.
And I agree with that, because I think what Ezzy's saying is that these preseason games are critical for those types of players, for the Vesalainens, for the Lemieux. So the idea is those are the guys you're going to play. Your horses, your veterans, they don't need those games.
Yeah.
These are the opportunities, because, Drew, you touched on it earlier with Vesalainen. Nobody's seen him play, really, here in North America. So here's our chance now to really watch him, watch his game, see how he's grown over the summer, and see how he meshes with certain players on the team.
Yeah, we've seen players. We saw Mark Scheifele in year one, you know, make the team out of training camp before, obviously, he went back down, to junior hockey. But, you know, there is that slot there, that sort of third line winger role that everyone's sort of pointing at, you know, next to, you know, Matthew Perreault and next to, you know, Jack Roslovic, that is a glaring opportunity, or it's an opportunity for guys to make that team. And that's really the key training camp battle. That's the guys, you know, Nick Patan, Brendan Lemieux, Christian Vesalainen, and Marco Dano to some extent as well, are keying in on that role, and whoever, you know, can perform the best in their 4 or 5, maybe even 6 exhibition opportunities, probably not 6, so you'd expect 4 or 5 to, you know, will be the ones who you know, capture that opportunity.
And I think there's something to be said, going back to what we were talking about with players in previous years, whether you're talking about Jack Roslovic or Kyle Connor, spending a full year or close to a full year in the American Hockey League, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Vesalainen is a player that we know, again, has high upside, being a first-round pick, and also what he's done in the Finnish League. But you also have to consider, if he does have struggles, you know, are you rushing him? If he starts the season, that's always the worry with a young player, whether it's an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old. So I think that's another argument for Christian Vesalainen playing the majority of the year with the Moose. But again, it's going to depend a lot on how Vesalainen plays in training camp and in the preseason. If Paul Maurice and his coaching staff determine that Christian Vesalainen is ready, whether that's to play a third-line role, second-line role, fourth-line role, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep him up with the big club, and then it's up to him to stay there.
Well, he's on the ice right behind us as the group one of the first on-ice session today at training camp is still on the ice. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by the radio voice of the Winnipeg Jets. He's our good friend, Paul Edmonds. We are live at Jets Fan Fest here at Bell MTS Iceplex. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg. We're live at Bell MTS Iceplex as part of the Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest. We're thrilled to be joined now by the radio voice of the Winnipeg Jets, our good friend, Paulie Edmonds. What's on your face here?
I have a bit of a beard growing. Yes, I have a bit of a beard. I usually have a beard in the summer, the last couple of years. By this point of summer or early fall, I've shaved it off. I have not. But it will come off before Monday's first exhibition game.
I thought your wife was maybe sick of you and thought that you could fool her by growing a beard.
She likes it, Drew.
Oh, okay.
She really likes it.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm currying favor with her, that's all good, right?
Yeah, we won't talk about the little gray in the whiskers because I'm not one to talk either.
A little gray.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, Paulie Edmonds joins us for the start of training camp going on right behind us here at Bell MTS Iceplex. You know, we had Dennis on about 30 minutes ago, and we sort of started talking about expectations and how this team had such a successful year last year, despite what Blake Wheeler said and that they didn't accomplish anything. How do they match expectations that the fan base, that the players themselves now have for them? Because they now have a target on their back. They were sort of under the radar last year. Now they're being talked about as one of the upper echelon teams in the league, one of the Western Conference favorites. How do they match those expectations now?
Well, I guess that's the $10,000 or $50,000 question, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be different for them this year because they're going to, based on that assessment, Drew, and it's accurate because I believe it myself, that there is a target, a different target on their back, that they're going to get everybody's A game for 82 games this year. There's not going to be many of those games where it's going to be an easy test for them because everybody wants to sort of, if you're a team that is in the bottom half of the league and you see the Winnipeg Jets coming into town or you're going to Winnipeg, you want to play to that level because you have something to prove. So Winnipeg's going to get everybody's best game all year long. And is there going to be maybe a step back this year? Well, there possibly could be because teams sometimes don't take those incremental steps and get to the point where, okay, just it's like stairs and you're going all the way up until you get to the Stanley Cup. Sometimes you take four or five stairs, sometimes you take one backwards, and then you progress again the year after. I'm not saying that we should set ourselves up for anything that's going to be disappointing, but I think that this is a playoff team. First and foremost.
Sure.
Is it a first-place team this year? I guess we'll find out. But don't be disappointed if they don't finish first. I think the goal here is to get into the playoffs. And there are some great leaders here. I think, number one, it's Paul Maurice. And the experience that he has going back to the Carolina days, that was a program from Hartford to Carolina that didn't do a lot of winning. He coached this team. They got some players. They worked their way up. And then they took a step back, and then they took a step forward again. Unfortunately, he wasn't around to kind of shepherd the team to the Stanley Cup because in that year he was relieved of his duties, and Peter Laviolette came in, and in 2006 they won the Stanley Cup with essentially Paul Maurice's team.
Sure.
So I think there's experience that can trickle down there from Paul to Blake Wheeler to Mark Scheifele to make sure that they are, first and foremost again, prepared for those expectations, which I believe they are.
Paulie, this time of year we're always talking about training camp battles, and we're obviously talking about, you know, the second line center, and we know Brian Little is going to start the season as the second line center, and then you can go down the lineup and you could look at the third line and the fourth line, and you know, you can discuss whether you think that it's going to be Mark O'Dano, Nick Batan, Brendan Lemieux, Christian Vesalainen on whether it's the third line or the fourth line, and then you have all of those battles happening on the left side of the defense. For you, what's the training camp battle, if it's a position or is there maybe a player that you're looking at and saying, this is a guy who can really prove himself in training camp and during the preseason and make this team and be on the roster October 4th?
There's a lot of those guys, Ezzy, but I would say this to you for multiple reasons. Christian Vesalainen, it would serve the Winnipeg Jets very well if he made this team this year. Now, you don't want to move him along as a 19-year-old and get him into a situation where he's not comfortable, and you don't want to ruin the guy, right, by forcing him in too quickly into your lineup. But if he's come in and he shows you something, and you want to burn that first year of his ELC after the 10th game, because there's a lot of things at play with his whole contract status. Number one, if he doesn't make the team, he's probably, because he has that option, going back to Europe. And that doesn't necessarily mean Finland. It could mean the KHL, right? The Jets would love him to stay here with the Manitoba Moose and develop and learn the system, and I think that would be the best place for him. But, I mean, it's his choice. He has that option. So to make the team, you're going to have him here for a year. You would also get through that 1 year of entry-level contract status. But I also think with $10 million remaining on the salary cap for the Winnipeg Jets, and then still yet to have this contract status settled out with Josh Morrissey, and then bonuses to be paid, you're probably looking at a team that's right up against the cap at some point this season. Plus, you want to leave some wiggle room in case you want to add on at the deadline. So he would really help your cap situation. And then also, I think, just be another young player that you're inserting into the lineup with some skill, a high-level skill. So I think for those reasons, Christian Vesalainen is a very big story here for the Winnipeg Jets. And could he play on the fourth line? Well, that fourth line doesn't have that designation, guys, anymore as it used to, right?
Right, is it a 3A, 3B? Right.
Well, we're talking three solid offensive lines here with maybe a fourth. I mean,
right.
So is he going to get power play time? Probably not. But he's a storyline for me that I'm going to be really watching here, along with multiple others. How does Brian Little adjust again on the second chance here with Line A and with Ehlers? You know, what happens with Roslovic? And Adam Lowry, to me, looks real good out there this morning. I mean, this has been spirited. It's been intense, the whole workout situation. And you can't gather and garner a lot from that. Mm-hmm. But the pace of this has been very good here this morning for the first hour of day two of training camp.
Paul Edmonds, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Jets Fan Fest, talking about the Jets as training camp is underway. The first on-ice session still going on behind us. On-ice session number two starts at 12 noon this afternoon.
So, Paul, one, you're talking about spirited battles. One player who's not taking part in those spirited battles is Josh Morrissey, obviously, who's still without a contract. Do you see this getting done anytime soon? And is there a concern if it doesn't that it drags into the regular season?
There's that possibility, Dave. I mean, kind of thought going back a couple of years, and we all have short memories, the same scenario happened with Jacob Trouba. And then finally, I think it was Jacob that said that he was just kind of tired of sitting out, let's get a deal done, and they pushed that forward and they got it done. But then it took Jacob a little while to kind of get his feet back underneath him, because you can skate all you want and go through the workouts and ride the bike and lift weights. It does not simulate game action or that speed and the pace that you play at. Right now, I don't think it's a concern for Josh Morrissey, but as we push probably further into this coming week, then and exhibition games get played, then I think you start to wonder about where he's going to be when he comes back, because he is controlled by the Winnipeg Jets. He has to play here. He's not going to sit out for the whole year. They'll get something done. And right now it's just a stare down between his camp and the Winnipeg Jets. And who's going to blink first? And usually the Winnipeg Jets have a little bit more experience in this. They would love to have the player here for sure. But the player's sitting out, and he's not with the group of guys, and that's part of it as well. And I would imagine that at some point he's going to blink. And it would be probably a shorter term contract. If I'm Josh Morrissey and his handlers, I'm probably going to take something along the lines of a 2-year deal as a bridge deal. And the reason for that is I'm going to, as we always talk about on our station, gamble on myself. Josh Morrissey's got a lot of upside left on the offensive side to jump into the rush, to play some power play time. So he will get paid at some point. But I do know the comparables. You're looking at your defense partner who just got $5.5 million in arbitration, and you play as equally as hard minutes as he does on the left side. So why shouldn't you be compensated fairly to that equal level? But there's some things that are at play here. You don't have the years of service. They might not have the money on the cap. And maybe we'll give you that if you want to sign long-term, but maybe he wants a little bit more on the long-term. So we don't know what's going on. Am I concerned, to answer your question? We're getting to that point, because I thought this was going to be done 2 weeks ago. I actually thought, gentlemen, that once we figured out, and I say we generically, once it was figured out what Blake Wheeler's status was, and he signs the extension, and it's just over $8 million. How much money was left on the table and in the cap for the Winnipeg Jets? Then we could kind of say, okay, we'll squirrel this over here for Josh Morrissey, and away we go. So I thought that another domino was going to fall at that point fairly quickly after the announcement with Blake Wheeler, but it hasn't. So there's some impasse here, and it's probably a little bit more serious. Otherwise, the deal would have got done. But as it drags on a little bit longer, the Winnipeg Jets will absorb what they have here to place on the left side. And Josh Morrissey loses a day of training camp with each passing day. And his recovery from that will be a little slower when he decides that they get a deal done and he's back in the lineup for the Winnipeg Jets.
Paulie, sticking with defensemen, and that's probably because I played defense for the River Heights Cardinals back in the day.
Yeah, you were a real stellar defenseman.
He was a stay-at-home defenseman.
Yeah,
he was encouraged to stay at home.
Regardless of when Josh Morrissey ends up signing, because I agree with you, I thought Morrissey was going to sign a couple of weeks ago, and we know that he is going to sign eventually. Regardless of when Morrissey signs, if Tyler Myers does spend a significant amount of time on the left side, whether that's with Buff or whether that's on the third pair, does that not just open the door for an increased role for Tucker Pullman?
For sure. I think that they had an eye on Tucker being on this team and on the right side as your third pairing guy going back to last year. You know, there's some decisions that need to be made with him as well. So it does open up a role for him, and it opens up more roles for guys like Ben Chiarot and Joe Morrow as well if he's not here. So there's Josh Morrissey's a wonderful player, okay, for the size that he is, the skating ability, the smarts that he has, the hockey intellect, the positional play, and like I said, there's more to come here with his offensive abilities that we saw in Prince Albert and Kelowna, and certainly when he's represented Canada at the international level as well. But the fact of the matter, he's not here, and you move along, and there's opportunities for other people. You know, when does he hurt himself? I don't quite know when that might be, but again, I hearken back a couple of years ago to Jacob Trouba, and when he came back in early November, I think it was, it took him a little while to get back into the swing of things and the pace of the NHL game for sure.
Last one for you, Paulie. Paulie Edmonds, our guest here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Injuries are a reality in this day and age in the NHL. We saw it last year, Mark Scheifele missing a significant amount of time. Steve Mason, former, you know, he was the starting goaltender at the beginning of the year last year, missing a significant amount of time. Are the Jets playing with fire with their backup goaltender situation if Connor Hellebuyck was to suffer an injury, not even a long, not necessarily a month-long injury, but 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there, things of that nature?
Very good point, because you wonder about the depth. Now, Mikhail Burden didn't exactly light it up in Penticton, so that's a little bit of a concern, but I don't think he's projected to be a guy that's going to fill in, unless you're Vegas last year and you're reaching out into the Western Hockey League and grabbing that kid out of Kamloops to come in and be
without
your backup.
Without when you're, skipping a beat.
When you're, yeah, when you're like five goalies deep on your depth chart within your organization. But then there's Eric Comrie, and he's had a couple of opportunities to play at the NHL level, and I don't think either one of those two games that he started in the NHL have been anything to write home about. So now you're looking at Laurent Brossoit. The one thing about Laurent Brossoit is he has some NHL experience. And a couple of years ago, before he split time last year between Bakersfield and Edmonton, he was actually pretty decent. So I think that there is a concern, Drew, for sure, about your number one goaltender, because you don't have not necessarily that 1A, but you don't even have a real proven B guy, if you will. Brossoit would be that guy, and it would be incumbent on him to step in and play to the level that you need goaltending to be if you want to win hockey games. But that would be an area of concern for me, because I just don't know that there's the great depth there in case something happens to Hellebuyck.
And by the way, as you know, Paulie, that's not uncommon throughout the league. You look at the Washington Capitals right now. Philip Grubauer gets traded to the Colorado Avalanche. Phoenix Copley is your backup to Braden Holtby. I mean, you'd like to have Philip Grubauer there again as your backup goaltender, but when you have, you know, the salary cap issues and all of that, you're forced to trade him. So I think you have that issue with the defending Stanley Cup champions, and the Jets and the Capitals aren't the only two teams that have that problem. It's not every team in the NHL that has that, you know, 1B goaltender there to back up their number 1A goaltender in case he gets injured.
You know, the funny thing, too, was that Connor Hellebuyck had an exceptional year. A Vezina finalist, 44 wins, a 924 save percentage, a 236 goals against. I mean, he was incredible, and a record number of starts as well. But they also were very good defensively. They they knocked off, I think it was about 36 goals overall from 2 years ago to last year when it came to defending. So can somebody step in? I think the thing is that the Winnipeg Jets are a better defensive team. That should help. But still, there's a big drop-off for me right now between Connor Hellebuck and whoever else you might have to throw in there as your backup goaltender, or then promote him as your starter if Connor Hellebuck suffers any sort of an injury. And I think, to your point, that might be a little bit of the salary cap era that we've seen here, where you have to kind of nickel and dime a little bit. You pay your number one guy a handsome amount of money, and then there's not a whole lot left over in your goaltending department to pay your backups and through your depth chart on your organization.
Oilers were another team last year with Cam Talbot. That's why they brought in Koskinen from Finland.
Sure. Well, after Cam Talbot wasn't able to do the job as well as they needed him to do. It all gets underway Monday. You're excited? I mean, you're back on air, TSN 1290 with the call Monday night, first exhibition game.
I'll reveal something to you guys that's been going on for 20-plus years in my career. I always want to get that first one out of the way. Yeah. Same thing happened in baseball for 20 years. The last 5 years now with hockey at the NHL level, you kind of want to remind yourself you can still do this again after taking the summer off. But, yes, to answer your question succinctly, I'm very excited about Monday. I'm very excited to see this Jets team through the preseason, but also to get kind of back into the swing of our routine as broadcasters as well.
We look forward to the call. Voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN 1290, Paul Edmonds. Thanks for joining us this morning, Paulie.
My pleasure, guys. We'll see you around.
We'll see you around. When we come back, we're going to talk about who's likely to play on the left side with Dustin Byfuglien. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
You know what's funny to say that, and I feel like yes. I don't think I've been playing for a very long time, and you know, just both sides of the rink. He's been playing really good for us the whole year, actually. But he's playing really well.
That voice was former Winnipeg Jets defenseman Toby Enstrom, the long-term partner for Dustin Byfuglien, often flanking Byfuglien on the left side of the Winnipeg Jets defense. We know it's not going to be Toby Enstrom anymore. He is off overseas continuing his hockey career. But a big question as we enter the start of training camp is who is going to be a member of the Winnipeg Jets to play on the left side.
I thought Toby Enstrom was just holding out.
No, he's not just holding out. He's off back to Europe. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning here on TSN 1290 CFRW.
Who are you waving to there, Drew?
I was waving to Odessa there. I know people too, Ezzy. This segment of the show brought to you by Keener Jerseys, specializing in customization services and branded team apparel. Keener Jerseys is changing the game with world-class craftsmanship and unparalleled service. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit KeenerJerseys.com or check out their showroom at 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you.
Two things.
Yes, please.
Hung out with the Keener Jerseys guys a couple of days ago. Hadn't got to talk to them for a while, and obviously I've got a young daughter at home, so I don't go out much these days.
Yes, I know.
But it was good to hang out with those boys and share a brew. And shout out to two people here. One woman who just walked by wearing the old school Winnipeg Jets starter jacket.
Ah, wow. Haven't seen one of those in a while.
And shout out to the guy who's already got the Jets third jersey.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could get those yet.
Yeah, they're on sale right now. Here's another guy right now who's got it already.
Second one.
Yeah.
I thought there were actually two, but then
and he's got Lion A on the back.
Does he have mini donuts? Is that might be more important.
Yeah, he's got mini
donuts. Those mini donuts?
Can we have one of those?
We're going to need those mini donuts over here. You can keep the jersey. We want the mini donuts.
It's interesting, though, because I thought I saw two people wearing them.
Yeah.
And then
you better not get any mini donuts on that jersey.
Of course not. And then I realized, especially because it's Patrick Lion A, he's trying to cut down weight.
Yeah.
But I saw him, and I was like, oh, wow, there's already two people with the jersey. And then I realized it was actually the same guy.
You saw the same guy twice.
Same guy twice.
Okay, well, you're very observant.
But that is the second guy we've seen wearing the new new jersey.
There you go. They are on sale here at the Bell MTS Iceplex as part of Jets Fan Fest on this Saturday morning. You know, at my first glance, I didn't love it. It's sort of growing on me as I see it in person, as I see a couple guys wearing it or walking around with it here at the Bell MTS Iceplex. It's growing on me. I'm sure I'll be used to it. Again, it's a jersey. It doesn't make me viscerally angry as it seems to do to some people on online, but I guess visceral anger and online sort of go hand in hand.
Yeah. You are a visceral type of guy, Drew.
Very visceral. You don't even know what visceral means, do you?
I do.
Okay. Let's talk about the left side defensive partner for Dustin Byfuglien as we get underway with Winnipeg Jets training camp here on
Saturday morning.
You don't
want to know what I think of their jersey?
I don't really. Sure. What do you think of
their
jersey?
I love it.
Okay.
It reminds me of the polar bear jerseys that the Moose wore. Aviator blue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that
insight. Not every year. Last year they wore more of a tan, but 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, there you go. Left side of the defense for the Winnipeg Jets alongside Dustin Byfuglien.
Very interesting, Drew.
Very interesting. Now, let's talk about it, assuming Josh Morrissey gets under contract sooner rather than later, that Josh Morrissey and Jacob Trouba are going to be penciled together. Who do you think is going to be next to Dustin Byfuglien as the season gets underway?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's another one of those questions that's very hard to answer. We know that it's not going to be Josh Morrissey, because when Josh Morrissey's in the lineup, when he's signed, he's going to play on that top pair with Jacob Trouba.
Yes.
And you mentioned it. Toby Enstrom was his longtime D partner. But last year, we saw that relationship change.
Sure.
And we saw...
Well, Enstrom was out of the lineup for a significant period of time.
That's right, Drew. And, we saw Dmitry Kulikov play a little bit with Dustin Byfuglien. Even though Dmitry Kulikov spent most of the year playing with Tyler Myers...
Yes, when healthy.
We saw Ben Chiarot play with Dustin Byfuglien. And then when Joe Morrow was acquired from the Montreal Canadiens, we saw Joe Morrow play with Dustin Byfuglien. Also,
yeah.
Sammy Niku. I was at that game in Montreal, by the way.
I know you were.
Sammy Niku scored his first career NHL goal. He was playing with Dustin Byfuglien. So how many defensemen did we just name there? Five?
Five.
So if you look at this Jets lineup right now, and I do believe that as it stands right now, if Tyler Myers isn't playing on the left side, I think Dmitry Kulikov is the Jets' best option on the left side.
With Dustin Byfuglien?
Right. Well, based on who the Jets have available to them, I do believe Dmitry Kulikov is the best option. Now,
assuming with Morrissey out of the lineup.
Right. Now, that all depends on Tyler Myers and whether they are actually going to use him on the left side. First of all, if they use Tyler Myers on the left side, that's by far the biggest D pair in NHL history. You're talking about a guy who's 6'7", 200 plus pounds, and then you're talking about a guy who's 6'3", 240 plus pounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big D pair right there, but you look at Joe Morrow and you look at Ben Chiarot, and I've said this before. I think you could make a strong argument for Joe Morrow to be on that second pair with Dustin Byfuglien. Joe Morrow's a guy that obviously, can skate and he has some offensive upside, but I think the issue with Dmitry Kulikov and Dustin Byfuglien is when they have played together, it's been a little bit underwhelming. They didn't have the chemistry maybe that you'd like to see, right? And I think Paul Maurice will give Dmitry Kulikov an opportunity to play on that second pair. We know Kulikov fits in on that second pair or third pair. I think we'd all agree with that, right? So then it becomes down to Joe Morrow, Ben Chiarot, or Sammy Niku on the left side. Then you throw in Tyler Myers. So it's like I said, Drew, it's really tough to answer because right now there isn't one player that really stands out to you that where you say, oh, yeah, that's the guy
sure
that needs
fit
to be playing with Byfuglien.
Like there was for so many years with Toby Enstrom. You just always put Enstrom and Byfuglien together because it just worked for so many years until it didn't, and obviously it's not a possibility this year.
If it isn't Tyler Myers, to go back to what I was saying, I would expect it to be one of Dmitry Kulikov or Joe Morrow.
Dave?
I thought you were just going to list off everybody. Just to cover
he's covering all bases,
I really am.
You know what? It's an interesting question, Drew. I mean, me personally, I know a lot of people have promoted Sammy Niku already to the NHL level. I think Sammy needs another, not necessarily a full season in the AHL, but I think that there's still parts of his game that he's going to be working on in the AHL. And the one thing people forget with a young player like that is, in the AHL, you can make mistakes. I've seen guys make mistakes, and Pascal Vincent, rather than benching them, throws them right back on the ice the next shift. Literally the next shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whatever just happened was likely their responsibility, but he uses it as a teaching moment.
It's a developmental league.
Right. So I think from that perspective, you've got to be aware of a younger player being able to get that opportunity to play in the AHL, not have to worry about, oh, I left my assignment, we got scored on. That's a big problem.
How did Scott Billick get in here?
Now I'm stapled to the bench. So I think that from that perspective, you're not going to see Sammy Niku, although a lot of people are saying, hey, switch one short, smaller, elite
European
player for another
sure.
smaller European elite defenseman. So.
Yeah, Dave, you can't forget that Sammy Niku has one game of NHL experience.
Right.
And put me down right now as a member of the Sammy Niku fan club.
I already did. You're actually the first member.
I really like Sammy Niku. But again, guys, you have to remember how old these guys are.
Right.
When you're talking about Jack Roslovic, Christian Vesalainen, and Sammy Niku, it's not only their age, Dave, but it's their NHL experience. So, again, I'm not saying that Sammy Niku isn't going to play for the Jets this year or even with Dustin Byfuglien, because we know they played really well together. So it could happen, but to start the season with Sammy Niku as your second-pairing defenseman, that's just not realistic.
No, I don't think so either. So, I mean, to your point, I see it going. Look, they've used Ben Chiarot there. They've used Joe Morrow there. I agree with Ezzie, Dmitry Kulikov. Although, I think it's rather interesting that Dmitry Kulikov is in non-contact. And it's not really being discussed, which I'm not sure why, but think about it. He went from non-contact, obviously, at the end of the season. He opted not to have the surgery.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, whatever they did over the summer put him back into that category. But I just thought it was interesting that he was sufficiently fine to come into that last playoff game against, against Vegas?
Against Vegas.
And then he played that game, and then now he's in non-contact.
Well, Dmitry Kulikov's health, I think, is going to be a big question for everybody because, well, it has been. He hasn't been, I mean, he missed a significant chunk of last year.
Right.
He missed a significant chunk of 2 years ago. When you have a back problem, they don't usually get much better. You sort of learn to live with them. So the health of Dmitry Kulikov is another factor on the Jets' left side of their defense, never mind the fact that Josh Morrissey still isn't under contract and isn't here at the start of training camp. One defenseman who looks good on any team is Erik Karlsson. He's now a member of the San Jose Sharks. The Ottawa Senators are in a complete and total rebuild. Coming up next, Gord Wilson, Senators color analyst, joins us to talk about the big trade, to talk about the Senators season, to talk about the attitude and the mood in the nation's capital. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live at Winnipeg Jets Fan Fest at Bell MTS Iceplex on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.